Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show, Summer of Fun Edition. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's just two of us today because it's summer, and apparently people have lives and go out to play, except for Patrice and me. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing actually really well. I had the day off because it's one of those religious public holidays that I can never remember what they are about today. So I slept really long, cleaned the apartment, didn't do much because it was freaking hot, 95 degrees Fahrenheit, so close
Wow.
to 36 degrees Celsius, I think. And humid, of course, like 40-50%. So I did not
Wow.
leave the house until like 6 p.m. I was like, and eh, no, I'll just like turn on the AC, close the blinds, and then just clean the house and relax and do stuff like that. So I was very productive today, which is great. About damn time, but so
I'm so proud of you.
yeah. And I have tomorrow off as well because we do that in Europe. Sometimes we call them bridging day or window day or whatever. That's different names in German. Basically a day between a public holiday and a weekend. So long weekend, simply.
Nice.
Yeah, so I have tomorrow. I mean, I did actually, to be fair, I did a tiny little bit of work, like answering a couple of messages. That was it. So just because I was, I saw something, I was like, oh, well, I can shoot off a message. And then I went back to whatever I was doing.
Nice.
So, all good. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing fine, and it is not a holiday here in the United States, and even if it
Unfortunately.
was, tomorrow would not be a holiday because, you know, America.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
yeah.
Well, except if today was Thanksgiving, that's I think kind of the exception that some people at least have day
Right,
after
retail
Thanksgiving
and
off.
restaurants will have to work on Friday after
Yes.
Thanksgiving, but everyone else pretty much is off.
Yeah, most. Well, I mean, depends. Like, if you're working in a hospital or anything like that, yeah, you're out of luck. But yeah, but a lot of people at least get the day off. Yeah. So there's that. But that's the rare exception, to be honest.
It is. And do not have humidity like you, but I live in Colorado, and the part of Colorado I'm in was reclassified a couple years ago from semi-arid to arid, so I technically live in a desert.
It's a green desert.
It's a green desert. Hooray, irrigation. Don't have the humidity, but have to keep all the windows closed because we still have the nearby wildfires. Even though they're mostly contained, they still put out a lot of smoke. So I'm staying inside unless I absolutely have to go out, and then I'm minimizing my outdoor time because smoke.
Yeah, I mean that is kind of really bad because I mean it's one thing to choose to stay inside because it's hot, it's another thing if you have to stay inside because of smoke. So
And it's kind of crazy how many people don't get just how much of a problem the smoke is. Like, the smoke can be so heavy that it looks like you're in a dense fog. And people are out driving around, windows down on their car, outside, walking, running, playing, and you explain to them what the hazards are and what the smoke particulate level is, and like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the good things here. The air quality overall is usually pretty good. So I've thought about getting like one of those like filter thingies for my apartment, and I'm kind of debating so because air quality is quite good here. I mean, I'm still in a big city. Well, maybe it could be better, but it is actually pretty good.
I have an air filter that's running right now, right over here, and it will run all day. And I have another one in my bedroom, and that one will run all night. When the smoke was heavier, I had both of them running all the time.
Wow.
And I had a third one, but a friend who was moving to Portland and needed a little help with the stuff that they were taking with them, didn't have an air filter. So I gave them my third air filter.
Oh, that was so nice.
And so they have one. And yeah.
I just checked the little Eve thingy I have here on my desk, and it's right now telling me whatever that unit is, 90 ppb I have right now. I have no clue what that means, but it's green. It's very low. 5 stars. 5 green 5 stars. So seems
stars,
to be
that's what you
really
want to
good.
see. Yeah.
Said no idea what that even means, but
I had one of those Eve air quality sensors in my old place, and the place sealed so poorly that when we'd have the big forest fires, even with the windows closed and locked, I would build up ash on the inside of the windowsill. And
Oh no.
I had like 1 star, even with my air filters running.
Wow.
And then one day, the E filter was just like, you know what? I can't take it
I
anymore.
just give
And
up.
it stopped working. That was that.
Wow.
My guess is that it was just too full of
Of dust.
ash and smoke particles.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so that's good that you have a filter like in your home. Like for sure that makes sense. That's it. But enough of filters. I mean, even though what we're gonna do today for some of the fun is very sciencey.
Right.
Like,
Yeah. But before we jump into that, I'm going to give people the summer fun overview.
Oh yeah.
So for those of you that haven't joined us before, during the summer, instead of everyone that's on the show, and usually there's a few more people, brings a technology related story that they found interesting, and then we talk about everyone's stories. It's summer. Tends to be slower news in the summer. So instead of taking a break like we used to do, Patrice came up with the brilliant idea of let's pick a fun topic and just do that. And it can be anything. And
I totally came up with that idea by listening to someone else talk about that. Exactly.
right. And see, this is where you get into time loop paradoxes. Because my hypothesis is that Patrice actually came up with it first. And then, because another high quality podcast network started doing it first, what I discovered is that they actually work on nonlinear time. And so they were able
Oh, that's
to
funny.
hear Patrice's idea, but then start it before she had the idea. And now we have the paradox, because if because they started it first, so that gave Patrice the idea, but she had to have the idea so they could start it first.
It's very interesting theory that you have there.
Thank you. Well, nonlinear time is really,
Non-linear
really,
time.
yeah.
Wibbly wobbly timely wimey.
Yep.
Yeah, so we picked the topic for today. A really fun one.
Patrice, what topic did we pick for today?
Yeah, I had the idea this morning that I, like while I was, I think probably in the shower or something, or cleaning could also be, that we should pick a favorite retro TV show that we both really like and enjoy and have watched at least once or multiple times and remember enough. So it has to be something we really enjoy, both of us in this case, because there's only the two of us. And then talk about that, do a review. And the show that after a long list of shows, by the way, for a retro rewatch, we now have a long list of shows that we've added that we should probably rewatch at some point. So the next 100 years are totally covered.
So we have
And
plenty
there's
of show
probably more
topics for
coming,
retro
so
rewatch.
tons. So we had, let me see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 shows that we immediately or almost immediately had in common. We said, oh yeah, that's a good one. We should talk about that. And instead of picking Star Trek, which we could have, because we really like Star Trek, but we always talk about it, so I was like, maybe not. We picked a show. It's basically like in your family, right? How I always call it, like your brother Adam Savage, kind of. He is one of the people and producers on the show. Yeah, of course we're talking about MythBusters. So, and if you're wondering like why I'm saying Adam is Jeff's brother, which he totally is not, look at pictures, and then tell me he's not his brother. So.
All right, so I have Adam Savage stories. We met at
Wow, okay.
Macworld Expo one year.
Family meetup. No, I
Yeah. And so of course this is when MythBusters was first running and it was really big, and we're both waiting to get in to Apple's big keynote event at Macworld. And
Which was probably at this point in San Francisco, because that would make sense.
yes, it was in San Francisco. Yep. And he's standing there wearing like I don't even remember what kind of shirt, but his a black jacket and his black rim glasses, and I'm standing there wearing a black jacket, and I think I had my black rim glasses on, and someone I'm with are like, "Hey, isn't that Adam Savage?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah." And so they said, "You two should
It's
take your
your
picture
brother. No.
together." And so I'm like, "Okay, sure." So I go ask him, "Is it okay if I do this?" And he's like, "Oh, absolutely." And so I hand my camera to someone who says, "I'll take the photo," who turned out to be at the time National Geographic's top worldwide award-winning photographer.
Wow,
I had no idea.
okay.
So
So you
he,
had a pro take a family photo, that's what you're telling.
right, yeah. So he takes the picture, and we chat for a couple minutes, and then later on, I send the photo to a couple of friends, and I'm like, "Hey, check this out." And even I didn't see it until they were like, "Holy crap, you two look like brothers." And I mean, we were even dressed similar. And
Yeah, but you also like you have similar hair colors, like similar faces. Like, I mean, there is for sure some difference, but like that could be brothers, maybe different mothers or something like that. So.
yeah, and I've been out wearing my black jacket and my brown hat, that you know, that kind of fedora style hat. And I have been places where people have come up to me because they think I'm Adam Savage, and I've explained to them, "No, I'm not." And
Have you just played along a couple of times and like, oh yeah, like
the,
I'm
well, there
building whatever this crazy thing right
there there was one instance
now.
where I did ultimately play along, because otherwise it was going to turn into a bad situation, because this person approached me, and they were all excited to meet Adam Savage, and I very politely explained, "I'm actually not Adam Savage. This does happen every now and then, but I am not Adam." And they really wanted Adam's autograph, and this person, they got like really angry because they
Yeah.
thought
So,
that Adam Savage was
oh,
blowing them off and being a
we'll
jerk
throw
to
off.
them.
So what you're saying is there's now someone out there who has a fake Adam Savage autograph.
Yes. So finally, yes, finally, I'm like, I had to think on my feet, and I'm like, "Okay, here's the deal. People aren't supposed to know I'm here, and just let me sign." And they're like, "Yes, okay."
And they go away.
So I wrote
Wow.
Adam Savage in just uppercase block letters on whatever they handed me. So it's not even an autograph. It's just someone
No.
wrote the name Adam
Adam said.
Savage, and
Yeah.
off they went. And I was like, "Oh, man."
Poor person.
I felt bad for them because they
Yeah.
genuinely believed that they had met Adam Savage, and they had
But I mean,
not.
for all you know, they were super happy, and it doesn't really matter that they actually haven't met them, because for them,
Okay, that's fair.
maybe they will never know, and for them, they're just happy and they have a story for a lifetime, and who cares? Like, could be that way, right?
It could be that way. Yeah. And they're telling people all about the time they met Adam Savage and then had to keep it a secret that he was there.
Yeah, possible. So yeah, Mythbusters. Really, I mean, I hope everybody has heard of it. I hope everybody knows about it. But it was I don't know, I would say a science show in a way.
Yeah.
Started in, was it 2001? Did I remember that correctly?
I don't even remember. It feels
It
like
was
it's
something
always
like
been a
that.
thing.
2003. Okay, 2003. Officially, it ended 2018, but let's say the original crew, I think, was 2015 when they when they yeah 2016, 2016, 2016. Okay, March 2016 was the last final episode or air date of the final episode. So it had a really long run, if you think about it, 13 years almost, and a lot of seasons. As I said, there were, I think, a total 18 seasons, I think. 15. Okay, I see, misremembering numbers. Yeah, it was a really long run. It was, I think, at times a really complicated show to produce. It's a really interesting show. So it's oh, I forgot. Yeah, I should explain. It's a science show. So the idea is and was all the time. They had some myths or some scientific things that they wanted to test out. I don't know whether something is really sinking like a lead balloon, or whether we can stick like, oh, there was a myth about, I think one of the first episodes was like a car with like a rocket on the roof, and it like
Would it
went
actually
flying and all
fly?
of that. Would it actually fly? Like stuff like that. So they like it was there was always an element for sure. It's a TV show. Some exciting thing, something where you can tell a story, something they have to build usually. Some were simple, some were not. I don't know, shooting a fish in a barrel, stuff like that. So they would go with a scientific mindset, with also an engineer's mindset a lot of times, and try to kind of prove it, show it, say show whether it's true or not. And of course, it would never go like it. Nothing usually would go exactly as planned. And there would be a lot
But you
of really
learn
interesting
from that.
results. Which, yeah, they would learn a lot from it. There would be a lot of interesting results. I think at some point they said failure is always an option. It's kind of became their motto because it really was that way. There was, I think, and I heard at some point, I think some of them mentioned there were a couple of experiments that they ultimately never aired because they just turned out to be super boring. Yeah, it's a TV
Which
show at the end.
that's reasonable.
Yeah, that's reasonable. It wasn't too often, but every now and then there was something where they were like, oh, this works, and that's the end. So where's the story? Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the fun aspects of it was always they would first try to, let's say, approach it from a, let's say, fact-based. Now, as much as possible, stick to the myth and stick to what people mean with it and interpretations and so on. But if everything failed, they would try to somewhat figure out a way to reproduce the result. So even if you had to ignore everything that was originally supposed to be there, like how can you do it? Like, I don't know, how could you shoot a fish in a barrel? Like, is it really as easy? Or could you make it easy? Or like I don't know, could you blow something up? Like, and if someone said, oh, this blew up with, I don't know, one stick of dynamite and it didn't happen, like, okay, how many sticks does it actually take? And or
Right.
even if that doesn't work, like, okay, do we need whatever, AMFO or something? Like, do we need something more, something better, something bigger just to make it work at the end? So the last step was usually, okay, if we can't prove it, we can at least try to figure out how we could do it. Is it at all possible?
Right.
So that
Yes.
was fun.
Explosives were always an option.
Oh yes, like that. There's one of my favorite things that Jamie said was, when in doubt, C4. It's one of the things. I mean, it has a really interesting story. Like when you think about it from the very beginning. I mean, one of the things that's really interesting. It started in 2013. They were really young, ish, compared to, of course, today and compared to at the end, they had a lot of experience already. So I
Right.
think,
Yeah, they both had experience in special effects.
yes, they actually both worked, as far as I remember, for Industrial Light and Magic at some point. That's where they met each other.
And yeah, and then when was it, which network were they on? Discovery?
I think, or yeah, could be. See, that I don't remember which network they
Whichever
were actually on.
network came up with the show idea, they went to Jamie and said, "Hey, we want to do a show like this, and we think you would be good because you have all of these skills." And Jamie, he liked the idea, but he knew that he didn't have the personality to carry the show on TV. So he said, "Let's go find this, let's go get this other guy that I know, Adam Savage, and have us do it together." And so
Yeah,
that's how Adam
exactly.
Savage got brought in. They weren't particularly friends.
No,
They
not at
were
all. Actually,
professional
they're very,
colleagues.
they are very, I mean, the one you can tell, like when you watch the show, and that's one of the things I really enjoy rewatching it. Like every couple of years, I'll rewatch all of it, and I really enjoy the ride. But something that over time, you do notice, they were not friends. There was plenty of where they kind of, especially in the beginning, where you could totally tell they were like pissed off at each other all the time. And it took a little while until they figured out how they both operated, how they worked together, how it really worked well together, actually. And there was from the beginning always like a mutual respect. It was never bad, but it was very clear that they were not friends, and they didn't want to be. They were like, both of them, I think, fine with not being friends. They're like, we work together, we work really well together. I think the show kind of also lived a little bit off those two not being the best friends and kind of fighting sometimes, or having different, I mean, one of the aspects that you saw often was different approaches to the same problem. So often they would just go off and say, okay, you think this is the right way, I think that is the right way. Let's just try both, small scale or whatever, and then figure out which way to go in and pick one. Instead of fighting over, okay, who's right, just saying it's just everybody does their own thing. And they kind of incorporated that conflict into the show even, and had little competitions like, okay, who can build the best axe? Like, who can build the best hoverboard? Stuff like that. And that kind of added even to the show. So, but yeah, they were never friends. And I think to this day, they're talk every now and then, like that's it. Like they don't want to be, they don't have to be. It worked.
It worked. And yeah, and it's a great example of how you can be professional colleagues and do your job and do it well, without having the requirement to be friends on top of that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it does happen often that at a workplace you do become friends. And some of the other people in the show later on, they did become really close friends. I mean, Grant,
Grant,
I'm
Imahara,
blank.
Tori
Tori and
Belici, and
Carrie.
Carrie Byron,
Yeah, they
and
became really close friends at some point. So it does happen, but it didn't have to. What was really interesting is I think Jamie was the more. He's very straight-laced and very professional and very, yeah, matter of fact,
kind of dry and droll.
dry and droll. And I think with him, it wouldn't have worked because he was just not, he wasn't very, he got better over time, but he wasn't super talkative in front of the camera. I think he figured out a little bit how he could get still somewhat something interesting. And Adam was the opposite. He
And
was in the beginning super immature. Like, I mean, really, like, I mean, didn't like typical. I don't know how old he was when he started, but he was super immature at that point. And it changed. That's one of the, I mean, Adam actually is one of the people I'm really fascinated by. Like, when he was born 1967, so he should have been 30, mid 30s,
Okay.
36, right? Like that. 35, 30, 36, something like that. 2003. Yeah. Probably 32 when they, 34 when they shot
When they
it.
started recording, yep. That makes sense.
So, and I think that was even an Australian network. Now that I think of it, I think that was originally, or that was actually an Australian network. It wasn't an American.
Oh, wow.
So I don't even. I there was there somewhere an episode or something where they explain how that all happened. But super interesting. But yeah, I mean, he was super immature in the beginning, like goofing off all the time and making stupid mistakes. Like he burned off like one of the earliest episodes, and you saw it in the intro, in the trailer. He like burned off it, like on one of his eyebrows. Turns out it was, I think, the day off or the day before, like a date that he had set up, like a first date with, well, turns out his wife later on. it all
He
worked out
clearly made an
somehow, but that
impression.
was, it did definitely make an impression. But as I said, he was, that was kind of the type of person he was back then. And he definitely, I think they kind of over time learned from each other a little bit. Adam became a little bit more open and relaxed here and there and could have fun in front of the camera. I remember there's one episode where they, somewhere in the middle, I think, of the show, where they did the Mission Impossible kind of show, where they, like, you know, the body switching, like, yo, you can put on a mask and then pretend you're the other person thing. And they tried that and tried to figure out, like, does it actually work? Of course not, but like, under which conditions does it work? And can they fool basically their coworkers? And you could tell, that was one of the things I would never, never expected Jamie to do. But he actually leaned into it and was really good at it. And he really like loosened up and became the funky like Adam character. And that was, like, you would have never expected that he could, would even be willing to or able to do any of that. So
And yet he
they learned
did.
from each other. They learned from each other. And Adam became more, I'd say, aged a little bit more and became more professional and more like calm and not so all over the place at some point. They were very good from the skills perspective. They had a lot of skills, like building things and how to, like, engineering. And
Oh, they're both super smart.
yeah, there's both really, really, I mean, they had a lot of experience, as I said, from the like special effects area. So they had built like robots and stuff for movies and TV shows and so on, like they for ads and all of that. So they were very good at building things that, one, worked and worked really well, but also looked interesting. So very appropriate for a TV show. Because I mean, that for a TV show, it's not just about, okay, does it work? It also has to look interesting. Like
And
sometimes an ugly machine is okay, but oftentimes, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's not just about, okay, what was it? I remember there's one episode where they tried like a prison escape myth. And they could have just, and like, could you use, what was it? Either
oh, you're thinking of
electricity.
Alcatraz.
No, that was even another one. There is one where they talked about, like, I think, could you use electricity or some acid from food or whatever to like go through the bars at the windows.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So that was
Okay.
one. I mean, Alcatraz was another really good one. But they, I mean, you could have, like, you even Alcatraz, you could have just made it very simple and dull and like just have the bars and just show, okay, it, yes, you can dissolve time or not. They built a freaking wall and kind of pretended this was a prison, stuff like that.
Of
So,
course,
and
because
that
but
looked
that's
good,
how they
simply.
did it.
Yeah, but also because it looked good on TV. Like, you would, they painted it and everything. Like, they really made it look interesting, and they had the skills and the thinking and the personalities to do that. They also have a little bit fun and say, okay, like, what can we paint on it? And not just, oh, this is a prison, but like, to put some really fun characters on it or whatever. Build a dinosaur out of foam and stuff like that. So they really had also a little bit this child, both of them actually had a little bit of that childish, or yeah, kind of childish side, where they would have fun with the things they were doing. As I said, Jamie opened up and learned that, I think, a little bit. He was more straight and like, okay, let's have this, it's
Well,
metal
they learned
built.
from each other.
Yes.
But even still, I mean, the respect that I have for Jamie, because he knew when they were starting the show that he was too straight-laced. So
Yes.
he
And he was
said,
in charge
go
of the
get this
show
guy
in the
that I
beginning.
know. He's not even my friend. I just know him and he would be good.
Yeah, exactly, because he knew that he needed someone who could make it who balances him out and could make it an interesting show. But also someone he respected. So it wasn't just, oh, there's the host who has no idea. Because I mean, you could have gone that way. You could have been like, Jamie is the builder and the scientist and the professional. And then you have some, I don't know,
A
random
buffoon.
buffoon, looks good on camera, can like host the show, can make stupid jokes, but it's not, I don't know, like, I don't, nothing against Tim Allen, actually a big fan of him, but like a Tim Allen basically. I mean, he actually is the opposite of that, but like someone, the characters he played are of the buffoon type, and like or a whatever bachelor host or whatever, or like something like that, like where it's like had no clue what they're doing, no background, nothing, but he's kind of
Someone
the
they could swap
entertainment.
out every season and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. But entertainment basically. And they didn't do that. They got someone who was quirky and could do that, but was also skilled and could like had the respect and could do the things. Like, I mean, Adam on its own probably could have done the show, but it wouldn't have been as successful because Adam, on the other hand, needed the structure, the organization of Jamie having a show.
Well, when they did later versions of the show without Jamie, it didn't work as well. They did the Kid MythBusters, where Adam was there to offer guidance, but it was kids
Yeah,
doing
and
the
they
myths.
did Savage Builds, for example, later on. I mean, it's hard to tell because also that came after MythBusters, so it's always hard to tell because you would always compare it. So it's never gonna be the same.
And
So
they
I
did a
don't
version
know.
of MythBusters with Carrie, Tory, and Grant,
Yes, they did.
but that one didn't do as well either.
No, aside, I mean, but again, like the question there is always because it came after, it would inevitably be compared to the original. And that's always a question. Can it be as successful just because it happened afterwards? Because there's a precedent, there's a comparison. So it's hard to say. It would have needed to be that much better that people say, oh, this is so much better than MythBusters. Because MythBusters was and is beloved and was a great show.
All right, pick a favorite
Despite, and
episode.
most people ignore the ending in the last two seasons because that didn't work. They tried, it didn't work. Yeah, but it's like, I mean, I said, I remember the first season. Like, they did some really like crazy things. I mean, as I said, the Chevy Impala with the rockets on top was the pilot, literally. And they had to revisit, I think it's three times they did Jato until they finally cracked it, and it was kind of their white whale almost, because it always failed. And then eventually they got it right so that they could either prove or disprove the thing. It just failed usually before, so they couldn't even tell either way whether that was possible or not. They did in the second pilot the vacuum toilet with
All
Carrie Byron,
right.
actually, with her, where they like hit one of the There's still very memorable situations where they basically like took a model or an imprint of Carrie's butt, blew it
That's what,
up to
when she was
like
still an
crazy
intern.
proportions. She was an intern, yeah, unpaid, and she came, I think she came in her spare time or something, completely unpaid. She basically showed up. She was like, I want this job. I want to do this. And eventually she did get it, and she became really good in front of the camera, but that was kind of, she wasn't a background in the first season, but she was there like for that episode where like her butt imprint was taken, blown up, and all of that. Again, Adam, very immature. I mean, there's the exploding toilets. They did some in the first season, some weird things about like what was it? I don't remember. I think that there was someone trying to read cards or something. I don't remember actually. It was so bad that I've just banned it from my brain.
Well,
But they
yeah,
had
and they were
some.
learning in season one.
Yes. But they also did the Escape from Alcatraz. That was also season one, and that was really good. And
That was
actually,
season one.
that was season one, episode 11.
Yeah, the Escape from Alcatraz, I mean that's one of their top episodes, real in my
It is the
mind.
top rated episodes, 8.0 out of 10 on IMDb. And I mean, first season, most of them are with like a 7 point something. So, yeah, I mean, some of the really good things like the lightning strike, tongue piercing. Adam actually had a tongue piercing back then still. Or I think, or did he get one? I don't remember. Maybe he got one for this. No, I think he had one and then eventually took it out, I think. So yeah, that's the kind of guy he was back then still. Yeah, as I said, there were some really, really good episodes. And I mean, for them, it was like the first season typical. Like they had to figure out like what do we do, what don't we do, how do we produce things? Because I mean, some of them take really long to produce. So like, how do we structure the production so that we can have enough content in a, I mean, what was that here? 18 episode season, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, so yeah, 18 episode first season. Yeah, I mean, how do we structure things so that we can, I mean, do some really complicated things within budget, within time, produce it in like story, how many stories do we need so that we can fill 40 to 3 whatever minutes in the show and so on. I mean, they had a lot to figure out, and they really did, and they grew together. And that was, I think, the important part of really season one. They did some, I mean, they did some really crazy things. As I said, the Alcatraz one is really, I mean, one, it sticks in your mind, but it's also, if you ask people in that field, I'm pretty sure they will tell you that this was actually quite an important kind of data point for that, because they proved something that nobody had been able to prove,
Yeah,
that
they
it was
did. They actually
possible.
created a boat with what was available or would have been available to the inmates at Alcatraz and use that boat to get back to the California
To the
coast.
shore. Yeah. So they and survived.
And they survived.
And I mean, for sure, they had different conditions in the sense that they had the camera crew and safety and whatever, all of that, like that the inmates didn't have. But they showed that it is, at least in theory, absolutely possible that they did survive, which is something that everybody else, there were myths about it, and we said, oh, it should be possible, or we think it's possible, or no, it's absolutely not possible, and they died and all of that. Like there was a lot of, I mean, the authorities were saying it's not possible, like they died. That's the official story.
But
And I mean,
it's
sure enough, some
possible they
people
lived.
were, yeah, and some people are saying, ah, no, but you know, theories and myths and whatever floating around about Alcatraz to this day. But there was nobody was able to prove it. And then Mythrushers came in and showed that it is absolutely possible. Doesn't mean it happened that way, but it is absolutely plausible, possible that this happened. So
I
that's it.
loved
Very memorable.
one of the later seasons. They did the moon hoax, moon landing hoax.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that one to be fascinating because there are so many people that think that the United States faked the moon landing. And so they went through every single data point or argument and set it up and said, okay, so can we recreate this on a soundstage and make it work so that it's believable that this is on the moon? And it turns out, no, you actually can't.
And they proved that. And now there's a TV show about that, but different story.
Yeah, but then
Or
they
is it a TV
eat.
show? I think yeah, it is.
Well, there's a
Either movie or TV
movie.
show. Or is it a movie?
Scarlett
I see, I
Johansson has a
forgot.
movie that, as we're
That one I meant.
recording, just
Yes.
came out, is about to come out.
No, it just came out. Just came
Okay.
out last couple days. Yeah, so
But they
yeah.
even went so far as to prove that the reflector that Apollo 11 left on the lunar surface is there because they aimed a
Yeah,
laser
they
beam at
could.
it
Yeah.
and measured the reflection.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's, but sadly, the stuff like that is exactly up their alley. And I mean, they did the ancient death ray, I remember. They
That
did the
was
radar
really cool.
detector. Like, that was second season, actually. That's when the build team it was originally called. Carrie.
Wasn't it
I was
Scotty
blanking.
before Carrie?
No,
And
she
that
came in
Scott,
somewhere in between, I think. Wasn't it that way? See?
because I
I
do
think
remember
she
they
was in
worked with
there
Scotty
somewhere.
a lot, and then she left the show,
Yeah, it could
and then
be.
tragically died. And
Yeah. See, I don't remember exactly how which way that was. Either she was in or they added her later and then she left again. I don't remember. But
yeah,
Grant
I think
and
Carrie was still an intern at that point, but they were using her more.
yeah, I mean, yeah,
It's been a
possible.
long time. It's been,
Yeah.
let's see, that would have been 2004. So, okay, it's been 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere in that second season they started adding them. That I do remember, but they weren't fully 100% in the beginning. So,
Yeah.
yeah, maybe possible. Let me see if I can see that here in the list. Carrie, okay, but for example, episode 12, she was definitely in there. But Scotty as well. So yeah, maybe both of them were in at some point and then one of them left. I don't remember. But as I said, like there were some, this is where they started like slowly introducing them first as the build team behind, because I mean, one, they had gotten a lot more budget. Two, they just realized that they needed, for, I mean, originally they realized they needed someone who could build things in the background while they were shooting. Because yeah, sometimes it's hard to shoot and entertain and explain things and whatever, and at the same time build the things, which yeah is sometimes also interesting, but it kind of makes it hard. You can only do one or the other, so
Well,
sometimes you
and
need
if
to
you're covering
parallelize.
multiple myths in an episode, and typically they would do at least two, oftentimes three in a single episode. That's a lot of
Yes,
work.
I mean they didn't shoot it that way though. They
No,
would
but
shoot the
still,
entire thing and then edit it differently. But yeah, still, it's a lot of
that's a lot
content
of
to do.
experiments they had to set up,
Yeah, and not
and
everything worked every
every
time
season.
as planned. I mean, that's one of the differences, I think, to other TV shows. I mean, sure, like in TV shows, there's always something that goes wrong and always something where you have to juggle things and do and on the spot change it, whatever. But with Mythbusters, especially, you did never knew. I mean, it could, as I said, like it would work and you were like, ah, oh, this is underwhelming, or it wouldn't work at all, or something would always come wrong. Failure is always an option. So that's really hard to do that on a TV budget and schedule. And it did.
All right, what did you
So
think about
that.
the episode where they put Adam in a car and sank it and he had to escape from a sinking car?
One of my favorites. And I think also Adam said, I think it's still to this day one of his favorites. At some point he mentioned that. Because he learned so much. I think both of them actually did. Because they were able to show what works and what doesn't work and what the best way is of like surviving really. And yeah, they were surprised. I mean, they thought, okay, like, oh, until the water the car's underwater, we can basically open the doors, and turns out no, you can't.
Oh, you can't.
And stuff like that. And as I said, they learned so much, and also I think learned also about, I think they even mentioned somewhere that they learned a lot about safety too, on set, because
Yeah.
it wasn't super at that point.
Yeah, and as I recall, that was one where the production company and the insurance company had a really difficult time.
Yes, convincing them that they should have more safety and should have divers and whatever.
Yeah, well, they had the same problem a few seasons later when they did the super long slide, and where they went out into a lake,
Yeah, that's a good one.
yeah, and they had a hard time convincing the insurance company that they could do that one. But yeah,
Oh no.
the
No, I think the lake ultimately was okay. The problem was they wanted, or that the myth was that you could jump into a pool, like a little kiddie pool. There was like a viral video on the internet. There was a time when like YouTube and whatever were blowing up, and there was a viral video on the internet basically where someone would jump and then land in a little like baby pool basically.
Oh, right. And so they put the
And
target out in the middle of the lake.
yeah, that's what they ultimately did, and I think
Yeah,
that was
that's
okay,
right.
but originally their idea was not so safe.
Yeah.
But it took some kind of, I mean, I'm pretty sure in the background it took for a lot of them, because they had, that was one of the things they had no, I mean, some more, some less. I think Jamie was always more on the safer side. He was their safety officer at some point. I think he was always looking out for the others, making sure like nothing bad happened. But I mean, and I mean, Tori especially got hurt so many times because he was goofing off all the time and like whatever, falling over like with his car, with his bike and whatever.
Yeah, him going over the bike handlebars
Oh
is
yeah, oh.
yeah, that's classic
Legendary,
MythBusters.
classic. Yeah, but there's so many times he got hurt or did something stupid or whatever. He was very aware of it, and I think that's why he worked so well on the show. But as I said, I am pretty sure Jamie like had more than one head like heartache almost. Heart attack almost because of that.
Yeah, I'm betting there's more
Or
than
because of
once
him.
where Jamie took him aside and said, "You got to
Yeah, you
knock
can
this
do that.
off."
Yes. Oh, probably all the every day, probably multiple times. He just never listened,
Yeah,
which is why it
well,
worked.
and it
Yeah.
made for entertaining TV.
Oh, it totally did. Yeah. But as I said, like they were not all. I think as I said Jamie maybe less so, but none of them were over putting themselves into harm's way if the myth kind of asked for it. I think they had fun doing it. They were like, hey, this, I mean, there were multiple times where like, hey, we like, I want to do that. Whatever. I want to, what was it? The airplane that crashes, and like the safety positions. I think that was one. But they were all like, oh yeah, we should do that or whatever. It's safe, all of that. And then then Jamie was like, yeah, maybe we should do that with dummies first and
Yeah, let's send
see.
Buster into that.
Yeah. Oh, a bus term,
The crash
actually,
test
I don't
dummy.
know how many versions of them he had. I think
It
he
kept
died like,
upgrading
I mean,
him.
he died a million times or something, but
Yeah,
they had
when
multiple
they
versions. They had to fix it. I mean, that was one of the really interesting things. They got one, I think used originally, and I think they had to fix him so many times. They basically rebuilt him like almost every time. And then they got, I think at some point they got a new one that was more suitable also for what they were doing with dummies, because the I think the original was actually not intended to be used the way they misused him.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but like dropping him out of from cranes or whatever. But as I said, I remember the airplane one where they were like, oh, we should, this is sounds like fun, we should do it or whatever. And then they tried it and were like, yeah, it's probably better that we didn't do that first ourselves. That would have been bad. I mean, they actually ultimately did it, but in a controlled and safe, and they knew it was fine manner, like not the original plan. Yeah, but there were a lot of close calls. I mean, they had explosions that happened unexpected. I think there was like somewhere there were guns and explosives. They were often, then they figured out, that's probably we shouldn't do that here. I've heard stories from, I think from Adam, that like on YouTube, that like the neighbors got really annoyed at some point because
They
it was
blew up a lot
constantly
of
blowing
stuff.
things up and
Well,
so
like
on.
the cement mixer. Can you use a stick of dynamite to clean out a cement mixer? And then when they packed it full of explosives, I mean that's one of their top explosions of all
It
time.
is. But I mean, that was with the FBI in a quarry with like a million safety precautions. Wasn't even the biggest explosion they ever did.
But
But it was
it
pretty
was
up
super
there.
cool. It was an epic
It was cool. They
explosion.
actually did that twice because the first time one of their cameras even died and they never got a.
I
I
didn't
think
know that.
the first time they blew up the cement mixer, the high speed camera died. They didn't have the footage. They had only the footage from far away because the cameras close up, they were all blown apart. They completely underestimated, even the professionals completely underestimated what would happen. So I think for the final, basically the final episode, they did that again with more ammo than before. Of
Oh,
course, bigger.
that's right, because that's the one where when they blew it up, the
There was
cement mixer
literally
just
nothing.
disappeared.
Yeah, there's literally, I mean, there was even before
That's
there was
right.
not a lot left, but the second time there was literally nothing left.
Yeah, you
Other
just
than
see
like
the
a big crater.
shockwave go out and this cloud, and there's a crater,
Yeah.
and
And a
there's
big crater,
nothing.
that was it. There was literally nothing left. Yeah. But that was the final episode. They said, okay, we're doing this again because it was one of their
I had
favorite
forgotten about
things.
that.
Yeah. But I said originally, and there were, I said they did a bunch of other explosions. So when they tried to flatten the car with explosives, for example, somewhere in the desert, was it Nevada or something? I think they had to leave California because it wasn't allowed there.
Paint a
Stuff
room
like that.
with explosives.
Yeah, that was fun. They
They
did
were recreating the
paintings.
Mr. Bean episode.
Yeah, and that was fun because that was one of the things where Jamie took it really like really serious and tried things and whatever. And Adam was like, I think after the first or second try, he was like, "F it, I'm just gonna do art." He's like, "This isn't working, so let's just have fun and like try to paint something at least." The shots of that are still my favorites, like when it blows, the Death Star that he built for that for the paintings, stuff like that. Where even I think the I remember the FBI agent was like, "I'm not so sure, this might be a bad idea." We
But
basically
they did
built
it
a pipe
anyhow.
bomb.
Oh, right.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, there's, I mean, as I said, they had a ton of really close calls and a ton of like luck, I would say, in some cases, but also really a lot of safety features and safety precautions. So that's one of the things I like at the end they mentioned. They're like, when they started out, they had no clue and they were really reckless. And they learned a lot in the first couple of years how to do it safely.
When Carrie was still an intern and they did the Goldfinger episode and they painted her gold,
Oh, yeah.
that they learned very quickly what a mistake they had made.
Actually, they revisited that one later on with Jamie, I think. And they figured out that it was apparently safe, but I mean, she just reacted to it somehow. I mean, that could have been a million other things. So it was supposedly all fine. The paint was fine. It wasn't. They had to revisit that because they learned more over time.
But when they did it that first
But it could
time, I
have
mean, they
gotten.
had a
Yeah.
potentially serious medical situation
Yes.
going down.
Yes. Oh, I mean, the one of the borderline ones was the torture one, the Chinese strip torture. I think they later on, or I think after, decided that they would never do anything like that ever again, because
Which is
that
for the
was,
best.
yeah, that was like psychologically questionable. So could have really caused a lot of harm to Carrie, especially. But yeah, that so they learned. I mean, that was also very early on, that one. Yeah, I said they learned a lot.
They learned a lot.
Yeah, also built a lot of like networks and friendships and whatever. As I said, the FBI and former FBI agents, like in the bomb squad, I think, that helped them then do all the crazy explosive shit. Yeah, stuff like that. So it's yeah. There's so many. I mean, there's really so many really interesting episodes. I'm a massive fan of Carrie. I mean, if you really think about it is quite rare to have someone like her on TV. Like she had, I mean, she's super smart, fun personality for in person, so good for camera, for in front of the camera. Has skills up to the wazoo. Like she can build anything basically. She had not a lot of experience before. She basically started learning it.
But she's
But she was
super
really good.
smart.
Yeah. And she's, I mean, she's a good role model. Like STEM background, all of that. So she's really, and she's doing that to this day. So like her in the show, that was like, and she wasn't just eye candy or just something like that. No, she was serious.
Yeah, she was a full member of the build team and fully qualified to be there.
Yes. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and I said, and it was interesting with like the three of them, the build team. Pity that they had to like kind of kick them out at the end, because I think they had to cut the budget towards the end of the show. But until then, I mean, that was kind of, it was, it turned, I mean, that was kind of that shift from the build team to this is another Mythbuster, or this is kind of the, I don't want to call it the B team, but the second team in Mythbusters. There's like Adam and Jamie doing things together, and then there's these three, and they would do different myths, and because of that, they could produce more content and kind of, and sometimes they would work together on things, and sometimes they would do separate myths, and that way they could basically, yeah, stretch out the time that they had available. I think they at some point got the second, got basically, I think either they moved or, no, I think yeah, they moved, and then you got like more space so they could build stuff in parallel and so on, because it's also the other thing that the garage that they started in was literally Jamie's garage. Like, so the not the garage at the house, but like this,
His build
like
garage
pre
for his business.
for his business. Like, so that was kind of not set up for anything like that. And so they, at some point, I think they expanded and had more space. And I mean, they did would go also to a lot of other places that if they needed even more space, because they couldn't do, I guess that, and the neighbors got annoyed, so they couldn't just do everything on the street, which they did in the beginning.
Which was kind
So,
of funny.
yeah, I mean, which I also understand, nothing against that neighbor. I understand, like, if someone is shooting a TV show and blowing things up and building things 24/7 and doing all kinds of crazy things, then
It makes it hard to run your own business.
yes. I mean, I don't know what, I don't remember what that business was, but I totally understand that that was maybe a problem.
Hey, you know what's not a problem?
Ah,
TSO
TSO host.
hosts. And they're not a problem because they're super reliable and great at what they do. And what they do is web hosting and helping people buy domain names and all of that internet-y stuff that people need. And they're taking the things that they do and giving those to us here at the British Tech Network so we can do what we do, which is bring live shows to you every single week. And without their help, we wouldn't be able to do it. They, like I said, they offer web hosting. So they're giving us the hosting space for the website to live. They're also giving us the bandwidth to live stream multiple shows every week. They're giving us the server space so that all the show recordings have a place to live. And that way you can watch or listen live or at your convenience, either way. And the effort it takes, the resources it takes to do all of this, we wouldn't be able to bring all that together on our own. So we really appreciate that TSO Host is here supporting us. When I say we wouldn't be here without TSO Host's generous support, I'm not kidding. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And I mentioned they also do domain names. Oh, but before I get to that, everyone, hop out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here. It only takes a minute. It's super easy to do. And it's an important way to let them know that what they're doing to give back to the community is appreciated. So please just give them some online love. And I mentioned domain names. Let's say you found a domain name that you need to buy. And retrorewatch.com. That could be a thing,
Oh,
huh?
could be a thing.
Or britishtechnetwork.com. That could be a thing. So you found this domain name that you think is awesome. Why not use TSO Host to get that domain name?
adamsavagesbrother.com.
I think it should be jeffgametslookalike.com.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Because Adam looks like me.
Yeah, it's true. And you're clearly the more famous brother.
Clearly,
Oh.
clearly. So anyhow, TSO Host, go get your domain name there because they're going to give you a good price. They're making it easy for you to do. And because you watch shows on the British Tech Network, making you part of our family, they're giving you something special, a 20% discount. So add your domain name to your cart. If you need web hosting, throw that in there. Add the discount code BTN20. And then you're going to get 20% off your order, which is super generous. So thank you again
It
to
is.
Yosohos for being here and supporting us. Patrice, I don't want you to feel left out.
Oh.
So would you mind telling people how the whole live chat thing works?
Yeah, we can make that super easy because thanks to TSO Host and an awesome project called Owncast, we have a really easy to use, awesome live streaming page. So if you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are streaming, which we are for this very show, the big show where we usually talk about tech-related news, so outside of Apple, basically, but only like the rest of the year, not during Summer of Fun. Well, yeah, mostly.
Mostly.
Mostly. And we record this Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time. So that's the time, 7 to usually 9, 8:30-ish, something like that. Today we're a little bit later, because it took so long for us to decide on what we wanted to do. And I was late. But yeah, and then you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. And on the right-hand side or on your phone, it's below, you have the live chat on the side, and you have the video in the middle, video window in the middle. Wow, speaking is hard today. And yeah, that's it. So that's how easy it is. You're literally in. If you want to change your name, it generates some really cool names for you, like Brave Raman, for example. But usually, yeah, you can also change it. Tap on that little purple thing up top, and you can change your name or authenticate. But let's say you are listening to us in the recorded form, and you want to find the links that, like for the news stories or today, for example, I'm about to pop the IMDb thing for MythBusters into the chat, just so that we have it. Or I would if it was showing up. I don't know. Is it showing up?
There it
Doesn't look like
goes.
it. Just took a while. Then you can head over to chat, British to bridgetechnetwork.com/chat. Select today's date. That would be August 15th, 2020. Four. And then, wow, that means it's 10 years ago almost that they finished the episode, the show. At least the original one. And then, yeah, there's chat transcript, and you can see what we talked about in the chat. That's how easy it is.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that.
Awesome. And I'm also about to pop in the Just Watch thing. So if you want to watch MythBusters, I wanted to mention that. It's on Max, all 18 seasons. Max or Discovery, I think, because originally it was actually, I remember, or a long time it was a Discovery show.
Awesome. All right. We've been going for an hour already,
Yeah, I
so.
think we could talk about this for the next 500 hours, but
Well,
there's so much about
we
this
have
show.
years and years of seasons full of
Oh,
amazing
yeah.
episodes. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah, go watch it. It's if you have never seen it, it's absolutely worth it. It's a really fun show,
It
as you could
is.
tell by how excited we got about it.
All right. So, Patrice, since it's time for us to wrap up, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Big Show and the Mac Show, except when I'm traveling. That week I'm usually out, but other than that, I'm every week here. So tomorrow there will be another fun episode of Summer of Fun, and we'll see what we talk about tomorrow. We'll see. Everything I'm doing, all the projects, the podcasts, the social media links, like literally everything is on my website, thepatrice.com. And since we mentioned Retro Rewatch in the beginning, Jeff and I have a podcast where we're rewatching retro shows. And we're rewatching, and this is the difference to MythBusters, we're rewatching shows that usually Jeff has not seen before. So because you have the bigger gap, I have a feeling
I
in your
definitely have the
knowledge.
bigger gap.
So in your geekdom and knowledge. So we're rewatching Stargate SG-1 right now. I think episode 6 we posted, so soon there will be another one. And yeah, we are having a lot of fun doing that. So also a fun show, by the way, that we could have talked about, but then that's what Retro Rewatch is for.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, by the way, Retro Rewatch is a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing that show together.
I did literally inspire today's topic. So,
It did.
because
Yep.
I was like, okay, instead of talking about something that one of us has not seen before, let's talk about something that we enjoy that we have both seen. So there's a difference.
Yes. All right. So people can find me on social media. I'm Jay Gamut. Pretty much everywhere. I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. Then for other shows that I'm on, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, then here on the British Tech Network, the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Then there's also Retro Rewatch that Patrice has mentioned. And then The Context Machine. That's a show that Brian Chaffin and I do.
Great show.
It's a
Inspired
lot of
retro
fun.
rewatch. So.
That's true. It did. Yeah, that's where I confessed I'd never seen Stargate SG-1, which left Brian appalled in real time, and then you appalled when you heard the recording. And the next thing you know, we're doing Retro Rewatch, and I'm watching Stargate SG-1.
Exactly. That's how
Yeah.
it goes.
Yeah.
Good.
Patrice, thank you for being here with me today. This
Always a pleasure.
was a lot of fun.
It was.
It was. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here as well. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And speaking of family, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for supporting us and giving us all of that infrastructure that we need to be here for everyone every single week. And with that, wow, okay, that was fun. So, everyone, join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And then don't forget to join us next week again for the big show on Thursday. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.